We're talking last night, and Kent, we've known each other too long to say because we're not that old. And the ministry that he has been involved with for, my goodness, 25, 26 years now is a phenomenal ministry. I served on the board of it when it was just kind of starting out in the district. I was a youth pastor here, and God gave our friend Chuck Apple a vision to reach out to public school students, and it's become a phenom in the Assemblies of God, and it's reaching out to more and more districts, to more and more school districts. And so we're thrilled to have Kent with us to share that ministry this morning. Let's welcome him as he comes.
Well, good morning. It is such a joy. Why is it doing that? You know, that would be great if I could. Just a little one. That'd be perfect. Good morning. It's such a delight to be with you, to be up in the land of the Flivvers. I'm telling you, it is my favorite mascot ever. So even when I did my Facebook post this morning, I had to find a picture of the So I found it on the school Facebook page, so it's like, yes. But it is such a joy. So many great memories of our time when we served, when we started this 26 years ago. We started in serving Wisconsin, Northern Michigan, and served this great district for 11 years. And in 2008, we took a crazy step of faith. We stepped into a national role with Youth Alive, and that required us moving our family from Waupaca to Nixa, Missouri. And we're just so grateful for your all faithfulness to us and what we've been able to do nationally with Youth Alive. And honestly, that's where, when we started this thing with Chuck Apple, which would have been back in 93, we were the only district that had someone full-time that trying to reach our high school, middle school students with the gospel, and this district was it. And when I stepped in, two other districts, because Chuck had spoken in a couple other districts, so we had a person in Oklahoma and Oregon the same time we stepped in, and so we were running, the three of us, and then in the fall of 98, we got a national U.S. missions appointment, and a large degree of how we got that appointment was they could use us as a case point to, hey, it's happening in Wisconsin, Northern Michigan. We could see movements all across our Assemblies of God Fellowship. So thank you for your investment and your continual investment in us. One of the fun parts is we just keep watching our Youth Alive family grow. And in fact, you should have a picture. Yep, there it is. There's the picture of our family. Since I was with you last, we've had a lot of changes. A lot of changes in our family. Grant, which you'll see on the far left-hand side with the beard, Grant was serving in the U.S. Army the last time I was with you in Washington, D.C. He liked Washington, D.C. so much, so when his contract was up, he stayed. And so he went into Army Reserves, and he's currently doing private security for the State Department. And can't tell you much more than that because it's all top secret, and he won't tell me. So it's like, although every once in a while I'll get a breadcrumb. So like the last day of the Trump presidency, besides the January 6th, all that junk going on. The very last day, he was the personal bodyguard for Mike Pompeo, the Secretary of State. So he spent the entire last day with him at the State Department. And he just was beaming about that. He goes, that was an incredible day. And so he's had some different days where he can kind of share after the fact. But we're excited about what God's doing in his life. And he's not married, and so I am taking applications. If you know, a sharp Christian lady that loves Jesus with all of her heart, see me. And I'm not afraid of him seeing this. So it's like, Stacy would be right there with me going, yeah. Now what has happened, Garrett on the far right side, Father's Day, right after COVID, he finally popped the question. So it was already in play a little bit, but he asked Paige to marry him, and 7 weeks later, we had the wedding. And I'm telling you, it was crazy. But we watched God just give him the venue and everything. So even in the midst of all the COVID craziness, We had a phenomenal outdoor wedding, over 350 people. I mean, when they look back at their pictures, they will have to remind themselves that COVID was still going around. And so it's just amazing, God's hand on it. And what's been fun is Garrett graduated from SAGU, Southwestern Assemblies of God, where he was playing football. In fact, Paige was a standout athlete herself. She was the volleyball captain at Drury University there in Springfield. And but they met their senior year in a life group of our church, James River, and they just kept talking their freshman year. That's all. They didn't date until after their freshman year, but then fell in love. Now she graduates next month. We'll have a doctor in the house. She'll have her doctorate in physical therapy. Praise God. My joints are already saying praise Jesus. And and some days I'll be probably just screaming Jesus because she'll probably be doing something painful. We're just excited. I'm telling you. Now, you heard me do literally a public ask for Grant. We could not, even in our greatest, best efforts, God has good of a girl as Garrett has, and she's a gem. He's on staff. Garrett's on staff at Life 360 Church in Springfield as the Young Adults Life Group's pastor, and it's just fun watching God just do a work in them. And so, in fact, Stacy would be here with me. She's got a long-term sub job. We've been traveling so much, she really needed to help us make some money. So she's actually got a long-term substitute job there at Nixa Schools, and one of the benefits for her is today, while she's still home in Springfield, she was laughing at me when I was sending her pictures of the snow last night. She goes, this morning she'll be at Life 360. Garrett's preaching this morning, so she gets to hear our boy bring the word. And so go to the next slide if you don't mind. This is just some more pictures of the boys. And then we have also had one more addition to the family, so you can go to the next one. This was our COVID decision. So we were like 2 weeks into COVID, and Stacy had vowed before this. So before COVID, she's like, we will never get another dog. She goes, now that we're empty nesters, I'm not going to care for another living soul other than you and me. We're it. And even then, you're on your own for food, whatever. She's like, we're empty nest years. And we were 2 weeks into COVID, and she goes, I think I want a dog. And I was immediately going, the Lord answers prayers. And so we've got a spoiled Maltese. His name's Oliver. And so those are the big changes. So we have, and he is pathetically spoiled, I will just tell you. And so normally if we can have him traveling with us, he does. He travels with us to a lot of places. And so that's our travel buddy, Oliver. Go to the next slide. Just quick, some Youth Alive updates, because this, you guys are helping us keep expanding our Youth Alive circle. So last May, every May, we get all of our Youth Alive missionaries from around the country together for a retreat, an annual leadership gathering, and this is our Youth Alive family. And this is where, when you think, 26 years ago, there was only three of us, and now you can see this big mob. Thank you, because your giving is just rippling across the country. Last month, we're going to be adding some new faces to this group. We will gain our second, this fall, we'll gain our second Youth Alive missionary in Arizona. And since I've been with you, we got our first Youth Alive missionary in Arizona. Now we'll have two. One of the fun parts is we've got a great team that's growing in North Texas, South Texas, Illinois. We just got a missionary where we haven't had one in over 20 years in Southern Cal. And just a month ago, we brought on our very first missionary to Alaska. So thank you for your investment, because it's just helping us just keep rippling this across. And again, the drive is that every student knows Jesus. Go to the next slide. One of the fun parts, we started dreaming as a Youth Alive team. And this is one of those crazy moments that you just kind of, COVID really stinks. And right before COVID, we had been working as a Youth Alive team. There was about six missionaries working with me. And we were just going on a journey on how can we help students be gospelly fluent, where they can just share the gospel. How can we better equip them, help them know what the gospel message is, But then also, let's break some stereotypes that whenever we talk about the gospel, it seems like it's something that we have to do, when really it's a message of who we are. It's a message we live much more. So out of that spring of who Jesus is in our life, out of that activity, the life that we share from that joy, not because we have to, it's what we get to. It's our theme, it's our life. And trying to help students, much like when you learn a different language, you got to know the culture. We want students to be doing it from a gospel culture of Jesus at work in their life. And so from that, we started going, how can we help students share it simpler, helping it just be memorable? So we went on a journey and we came up with this, Alive in Five, five parts of the gospel message that's based on icons. We wanted students to start to, our journey was, how can we get this to where a student could start to text it with their friends? And so images and icons is what started to drive us. And we created, one of the first steps was just creating a brochure, which I've got a bunch of copies in the back, which I encourage you to grab one. This isn't like a track. This is actually more like a conversation booklet that you sit down and have a conversation with someone. And we've watched pastors jump on this with their congregations even, just because it's been one of those fun pieces that it just makes the gospel simpler and easy to understand. And with this, we've got questions that lead into each part of the gospel message. And so just as we were about ready to, we started promoting it the fall before COVID, and then COVID hit, and like everything, it's like down into a hole, an empty silo, because we're all focused on COVID and going, how do we navigate through this mess? But coming out now of COVID, one of the fun parts is we, back in 2007, we launched a Fire Bible for students, and we updated this student edition to be a Youth Alive edition, and we put this Alive in Five at the very front of this Fire Bible. And so thanks to a huge investment of Light for the Lost to help make this special copy edition happen. And we created a website. You can go to the next slide. We have a student website that has video tutorials from students, basically walking to the student watching how to get the most out of their Bible. And so we've got a ton of helps to help students to engage the Bible, because this is what we found through COVID. If you're not biblically engaged, and this is whether you're a teenager or an adult, if you're not biblically engaged, you're going to miss it. You're not going to share. You're going to be inconsistent in your walk. And Bible engagement is a huge part. So if we're going to want to see a movement of students make a movement on their campuses, then we need to be able to equip them. And that's where we're grateful for Light for the Lost. And you can go to the website. You could purchase these Fire Bibles. It'd be a great graduation gift. FireBibleStudent.com. Encourage you to check it out. You can also grab our latest newsletter, so it's on that newsletter. So if you need to remember it later, just grab a newsletter in the back by the church office door. So thank you for helping us make this happen, and also for your BGMC efforts. I want to show you a quick video. BGMC helped us do this video. One of the aspects of Youth Alive, besides helping students share the gospel personally, we help students do on-campus prayer groups or Bible clubs. We also do school assemblies, and this would be a video that we would show in the school assembly. This video, I loved. I just had to pick a couple of them. I love this one just because it, especially coming out of COVID, if students are going to make a difference on their school campus, they need to be resilient. And God will help students bloom where God's planted them. And this video kind of puts this out. So go ahead and play it.
Some people look at the desert and all they see is a place where nothing can make it. I get that. Things have no business growing out here.
Well, the audio works.
Some people look at the desert and all they see is a place where nothing can make it. I get that. Things have no business growing out here. Some people look at the desert and all they see is a place where nothing can make it.
You can hear it.
I get that.
So things have no business growing out here.
The sun beats down like a fighter, like just relentless. But think, some people look at the desert and all they see. Some people look at the desert, and all they see is a place where nothing can make it. I get that. Things have no business growing out here.
Well, it did happen. There is a video. And thank you for making the BGMC efforts happen, because it blesses a lot of missionaries, including ourselves. And in fact, I can even tag off of the ministry that's been blessed. They'll be glad. I think they'll be glad that I mention them. Special Touch Ministries, because they sent it to me. Special Touch Ministries created a Braille edition of the Alive in Five. And so they've been sharing with me testimonies of blind people that are coming to Christ because of that. And so it's all because of those coins. So with your kids, when you see the kids coming, begging for the change out of your pocket, or you're committed to helping them in the BGMC efforts, just know it's going to great work to further the kingdom. So thank you for all that you did and done for that. Let me jump into a message this morning. Turn with me to Acts chapter 9. And just want to say thank you. The next video probably won't work either then, probably, right? Okay, that's okay. Then you got audio. Okay, so it won't work. Bummer. So that was actually a soundtrack. Was that pretty good? That was just a soundtrack to my message. We're up in the game here in Youth Alive. I'm just kidding. Acts chapter 9. I want to entitle my message to you this morning, There Is No Way. There is no way. Maybe there's parts when you start to think of people that should know who Jesus is, people that God's placed on your heart. And sometimes when God puts them on your heart, some of them, because of who they are, kind of where they're at with God, and like they have no interest in God, some of them you'd know, they'll shoot you down, they'll probably cuss at you, give you some hand gesture, because you're just sitting there thinking there's no way. There's no way God would actually speak to them. In Acts chapter 9, we hear just an incredible testimony of Saul, who becomes Paul, the great apostle. In Acts chapter 9, we start to get a picture of his life. And what's amazing is before Paul came to Christ, in fact, Acts chapter 9 gives us his conversion story. What's amazing about Paul is we find Paul is one of those that everyone, all the Christian believers of the day, it's like, there is no way that guy's going to come to know Jesus. Because he was merciless. He was already out persecuting Christians. Some points that can be a nice way to whitewash it. But Paul, or Saul at this point, is not a nice man. And that's being very polite. He was on mission to kill any Christian that he would come across. It was beyond just being a bully. He was ready to extinguish anything about the Christian faith. Look at it in verses 1 and 2. Meanwhile, Saul was standing, breathing out murderous threats. Breathing out. I mean, that's part. He is passionate. You talk about a spitting preacher. Here is Saul. He is breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. And that breathing out really starts to demonstrate just where he was. But on the way to Damascus, the Lord Jesus appears to him. It knocks him off his horse, blinds him. And Jesus is asking him, why are you persecuting me? And Paul goes into Damascus, and so he's blinded literally for 3 days. 3 days he's not eating anything, and that's where our story picks up. And we'll look in our passage that we'll look at today, in Acts chapter 9, verse 10, and we begin to see, and thank goodness for this person, God begins to send a man, Ananias, to Paul. If we did not have an Ananias, you would not have an Apostle Paul. If not for Ananias, we wouldn't have 3/4, if not more, of the New Testament. So much of the activity and the spread of the church is attributed to Paul. And what gets interesting in our passages, and we're going to look at verses 10 through 19, we find six times in 8 verses Ananias' name is mentioned. So while really the whole chapter is about Paul's conversion, which the story does talk about, it's also really about Ananias' faith and obedience. So number one, to believe that God can save anyone, and this is what I want to challenge you with today is, and leave you with, is that God can save anyone. The biggest miracle that God does is when someone comes to Christ and places their faith in him. Look at it in Acts chapter 9, verse 10. And look at it. It goes, now there was a believer in Damascus named Ananias. So a little more detail, you can see in Acts chapter 22, Paul was giving his testimony in Acts 22, and he says this, a man was named Ananias, lived there. He was a godly man, deeply devoted to the law, well regarded by the Jews of Damascus, and he came and stood beside me, and he said, Brother Saul, regain your sight. And at that moment, I could see again. I could see him. So in other words, Ananias was a godly man. He was a Christian believer. And he's given Paul, by what Paul says here, is probably one of the very people that Paul was probably going to extinguish. So Ananias, all the consternation that Ananias had to work through to even get to talk to Paul in this moment. Because Ananias was aware of the threats, and he was probably going to be one that was targeted. And let's look back at verse 10 again. So there was a believer in Damascus named Ananias. The Lord spoke to him in a vision, calling Ananias. Yes, Lord, he replied. God gives him a vision. And one of the parts that we need to ask is, God, give us a vision. Just as God gives Ananias a vision, and in this book of Acts, I would suggest to you that a way to understand Acts is that Acts gives us a view of what a normal Christian experience and walk is all about. This should be the flow for the Christian believers, is that Christians would share Jesus wherever we go. We would pray for people and see people healed. One of the opportunities we'll have at lunch is being able to ask the waiter or the waitress, is there anything I can pray with you about? Really trying to work on that for me. It's just finding moments where you can ask, is there something I could pray with you about? You'd be amazed in our culture today, that simple ask breaks down so many barriers, it'll break down so many stereotypes of what people would even think of what a Christian is. And we saw it normative even right here with Ananias. Ananias actually doesn't pray, he commands Paul to see his sight again, which that's incredible when it comes to healing, when we want to see miracles. Is there's a part, Jesus has already completed the healing, we should just be able to command it. Not from us, but from what God's already done and wants to do in that person's life. And we see it with Ananias, is that the normative is that we would be praying for people, they'd be healed, Christians should be able to be full of the Spirit wherever we go. So hopefully, as you're reading your Bible, you also get a sense of the Lord speaking to you, that God wants to speak to you. Sometimes the way God speaks, is through prophetic word. And again, we're talking about prophecy and how to understand that, how that functions in the gift of prophecy. God can speak to you and gives you a word for somebody. Or God will speak to you and help you understand kind of where that person's at. He'll reveal just some feelings that you might have, and that will prompt you. Is there something I can pray with you about? It'll prompt maybe a question that you're just going, are you having a good day? Is there something I can pray with you about? And God will give you intuitiveness to some of the things that just, there's an essence that God will give you. And that's what we can see even through Ananias' process to approach. Let's go to verse 11. As the Lord said, go. God gives Ananias directions. He goes, go over to Straight Street to the house of Judas, and when you get there, ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul. He's praying to me right now. Is that not cool? So as Saul is praying to God, God's hearing his prayer, but then he's also speaking to Ananias going, yeah, it's almost like having two cell phones. You know, picture, you know? Yeah, I'm hearing you, Saul. Hold on. Hey, Ananias, yeah, I got him on the phone right here. I mean, it's almost that. I mean, what's cool is you're just seeing God. And talk about a way maker. We sang that song earlier. As our way maker, we're watching it. Saul's praying, essentially, what is this all about, this vision of Jesus? As Saul is asking, God's hearing his prayer and preparing a person to come to help explain it to him. And he goes on, he goes, he's praying to me right now, and I've shown him a vision of a man named Ananias coming to him, laying hands on him so that he can see again. Drop down to verse 13 and 14. But the Lord exclaimed, Ananias, I have heard many people talk about the terrible things this man has done to believers in Jerusalem. So Ananias is trying to talk this out with God, going, there's no way. And he's authorized by leading priests to arrest everyone who calls upon his name. So Ananias has heard all the stories about Saul. He's heard the reputation. God, do you really know how bad this guy is? But God assures him that God is at work and he's speaking to Saul too. So he gets back to verse 15. So the Lord hears Ananias lay all about his case, but he just says, go. I love that Ananias, without all the information, and oftentimes we're going to have questions that when God prompts us to share with people that we would think there's just no way. Ananias hears God directly tell him, go. Go, for Saul, look at the rest of verses 15 and 16 here. So go, for Saul is my chosen instrument to take the message to the Gentiles and the kings, as well as the people of Israel. And I will show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake. So Ananias didn't have all the picture. And you don't have to understand it all to be obedient. And that's the biggest part that we have to get over as believers. Is there's points when God begins to speak to us. And we're sitting there maybe wrestling, God, really? Here at this moment? You really want me to share Jesus while I'm eating my Storheim's ice cream? You know, really, right here, right now? I didn't make it there yet. So it's like, really, right here, you want me to do? Some points, God will put you in some crazy situations. I can still remember in a business law class, God giving that to me. And really, it set a trajectory for the rest of my high school life. I was a new believer, and God told me, in fact, I had done a prayer on a Sunday morning with our pastor. He had said, let's pray this week. So this was our pastor's message. He goes, the gist of it. He goes, let's just pray that Jesus is doing such a unique work in our life that some person this next week will stop us and ask us questions. And it'll only be attributed. It could only go back to that Jesus is doing something different in your life. And I remember praying that prayer. I prayed it. And then forgot about it. Like much of you, you'll get home later today, and you could even ask some of your teenagers, parents, hey, what did the guy, that fat old guy with the goatee, say this morning? You may not remember a thing. But what's amazing is you prayed and meant it, and I did. I genuinely prayed. I wanted somebody to ask me questions. Well, Monday went, the next day. I'm in business law class, first class after lunch. And in walked Shelly Scott, one of the toughest girls in our school. And she started nailing me because our teacher was late, so we were just hanging out, waiting for our teacher to wait to get there so we could have class. But she began to pelter me with tons of questions. And after a while, it got really annoying because she's just going, do you have, at that point, I didn't have glasses. I was wearing contacts. She goes, you used to have glasses, right? And I'm like, yes. So when did you get rid of the glasses? I'm like, it's been a couple years. I mean, she was going down, and it was about halfway into her interrogation. Then I remembered the prayer I had prayed at church 24 hours earlier. And all of a sudden, I'm realizing this is with the toughest girl in the school, and she could take me out. Or she had friends that could. And what was crazy was taking that moment, getting beyond the fear. And after a while, and the teacher's still not showing up, and I remember pivoting around and just said, Shelly, this is going to sound so strange, but I walked her through yesterday at church. Our pastor encouraged us to pray this, and I've been praying it. I prayed this yesterday at church, that someone this week would ask questions because Jesus is at work in my life and somebody would notice it. And so you need to know you've noticed. What you're noticing is not anything different. I'm the same person. Outside. You just need to know that it's God's at work in my life. And maybe he wants to be at work in your life too. And at that point, I kind of I was bracing for her, because she's a tough girl, pretty girl, but I was bracing for her to move the desk and all of a sudden start to pummel on. I mean, she was a senior, I was a sophomore, and so that whole upperclassman was in the back of my head too, because I'm sitting there thinking there's no way, no way she's going to be interested. And so as I was kind of bracing for the fists to come, or at least to get cussed out, I mean, my name's a four-letter word, Kent. So I'm used to four-letter words, you know? So it's like, Kent, yes, that's me. I was expecting a whole lot of different other four-letter words. Next few moments, she's weeping. She had been having her own prayer moment with God on a late Saturday night, early Sunday morning, after a party. And she started telling me, I had my own moment with God, telling him, if you're blankety-blank real, begin to show me some people that you're working in, if you're really real. And that changed the way I thought about prayer life too, is, you know, God's not offended some points by language as much as he is by the heart. And it changed. I was like, so I'm not advocating cussing when you pray to God. All right, just get that straight. But he does definitely listen to the heart when you pray. And that moment, didn't know fully how to do it all, but led her to make a rededication to Jesus right there in a business law class. And all of a sudden, my high school went from the place I had to go to the place I got to go. I can look back to that moment and see it as a trajectory moment for where I'm even at today. And so when we look at this story here, it's that same part. All of us are called to be an Ananias, to go and to share to the Sauls in our life. And there are many. So if you've got loved ones that are away from Jesus today, be confident. Look for the opportunities. Don't let what your thoughts might determine a situation hold you back from sharing Jesus. To be able to do it with respect, to be able to do it with courtesy, to do it with impact, just let God lead you in the moments he gives you. And that's exactly what we see here with Ananias and with Saul. Look at verse 17. So Ananias went and found Saul, and he laid his hands on him and said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." How important is the Holy Spirit to our life? It's a big deal. Why do we want to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Is it helps us to be able to tell others about Jesus. It helps us to experience his power and his presence, because we're going to be more in tune with him. We will be more sensitive to him. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is going to empower us to do a lot. And so Ananias prays with Saul. Look at verse 18. Instantly, something like scales fell off of Saul's eyes and regained his sight. And then he got up and was baptized. So an amazing moment that took place here. Not what Ananias would have thought. But as he prays, literally, Bible scholars tell us, it was like layers of, that it would look like scales of a fish fell off of Saul's eyes. Now all of a sudden he can see again. But what's amazing for Saul is for 3 days, what he's the last thing that he can really see. He's not in so much darkness as much as in the brightness, because his last thing that he physically saw was Jesus. And so for 3 days, really what's in the back of Paul's mind is the vision of Jesus for 3 days. What an incredible transforming experience. And then to have the scales come off and physically see again. God wants to be able to use us to help the scales spiritually fall off the hearts of people. He wants to lead us into that, and just have confidence. Don't let your no way thoughts deter you from being that Ananias in the life of people. I'm here today because I can still think back to an art class. My brother had come to Christ and been egging me on to come to the youth group at the AG church, but it was in an art class at the end of my freshman year that Scott Swanson, a kid in the youth group, invited me to come. And I had enough of my brother encouraging me to go. I finally went, yeah, I'll go check it out. They played a cheesy 70s, this is early 80s, so this is like 1981. They were playing, back in the late 70s, there was a bunch of cheesy Christian videos out, films. So it was a big deal to have a Jesus film for youth group, you know, and it was cheesy. But at the end of it, I knew I needed Jesus. Because I grew up seeing the religious side of Jesus. Going to church is what would save me. Being a good person is what would save me. And I just all of a sudden realized that's not going to save me. It's going to be placing my faith in Jesus. And so at the end of that cheesy film, I gave my heart to Christ May 13th, 1981. And it's going to be that transformative moments. God's going to put us into place where we help people start to see it's not the religious thing, it's a relationship thing, and how people can find Jesus. One of the greatest moments that I've been able to witness, and I realize my time's gone, we were youth pastoring in Newton, Iowa, and at the time we were in a transition, so I was doing everything. Youth pastoring, I was interim pastor, and we had Helen George, sweet lady. In fact, I didn't know she was even married, because at this point we had been there 2.5 years. She would always sit at this side from the pulpit and just was always there by herself. I really thought she was widowed. She comes up to me after a Sunday morning and she goes, "Pastor Kent, would you do me a favor? My husband is not doing well. He's in the hospital. Doctors don't think he'll make it. And he really needs Jesus. Would you go visit him?" And of course, and she kind of held it out there for a second, and I'm like, "Helen, I would be delighted to go visit him. Just tell me what room, hospital in Des Moines, I'm there." And she told me, and then she goes, "Well, now that you've agreed, I need to tell you the whole rest of it. He hates preachers." So, you know, then it's like, okay, yeah, you got me to say yes, Helen. I'm seeing your number. And she goes, "He hates preachers. He really hates anything to do with the church. Really hates it. Like, he's not happy that I even come to church on Sundays." And it made sense why I only would see Helen on a Sunday morning. She was very faithful every Sunday morning, but you didn't see her ever really talk, get involved in the church other than her coming. Makes a lot of sense. See, Bernie, her husband, was a high-up executive in Maytag. Maytag Corporation was based there in Newton at the time before it got sold out. And Bernie, literally, the best way I could describe to you Bernie, especially as the stories started coming to me, he was the Ebenezer Scrooge of Maytag. Nobody wanted to work in his area department of Maytag because he was such a rigid boss. His kids even hated him because he was such a tough, rigid dad. He lived with anger. And so I walk into this. He had lung cancer, which made it even at this point, it was in deep stage, that it was filling his lungs and he was having a hard time breathing. But I remember walking in, and I honestly, I'm 25 years old maybe at this point, and I'm walking in, and I'm 26, and I'm walking in going, "Hi, Bernie." I didn't have the pastoral small talk down. I'm just kind of walking in. Had a nice mullet, nice 80s mullet. Depending on the age, that ticked people off too. Trust me. One of the crazy parts was just, I didn't know what to say, but I had in my thoughts, there's no way. So I was bracing for the four-letter words to come, bracing for a nurse to kind of escort me out because it'll agitate him, whatever. So I walk in and just start talking with Bernie and said, "Hey, Helen told me that things don't look good." And he shook his head, "No." I'm like, "Bernie, you don't have long, right?" And he goes, "Well, that's what the doctors say." And I just, in the next few moments, I just went for it. I said, "Bernie, here's the deal. If you don't have long, are you really prepared to see God? Because when you die, there is life after this life. Are you prepared to meet him? Because if not... there is an actual heaven, hell, that it's not fiction. Do you know? Do you want to know? Because this is a moment for you. Your eternal consequence is at stake. But you just need to know if there's a God that loves you, and it's part of why I'm here, is to let you know that he loves you. Would this be something you're interested in? Can I pray with you? And at that moment, I was ready for the cuss words, get out of here, preacher. And he started to tear up. And he goes, he just nodded yes. He didn't even really speak at first. But as I led him into a sinner's prayer, the very moment I said, in Jesus' name, and I heard him say, in Jesus' name, the next few minutes, he's just started through his labored breathing going, oh my, oh my. And it's hard to, but he was fighting the cancer in his lungs, but he so much just wanted to start worshiping. And for the next 10 minutes, I went over and sat down in a chair. For the next 10 minutes, Bernie was lifting his hands, worshiping Jesus. Years of anger, a lifetime of hate, began to melt in that hospital room. And I just went over and sat down, and it had to be that moment, just like in Ananias. It's when I read this, I just go, this has had to be Ananias's reaction, is God starts doing a work in Saul's life, and you just kind of step over and get out of the way and just realize, wow, God's working. God's filling Saul with the Holy Spirit. At that moment, Bernie George was getting filled. God was saving him. And the Lord gave him 7 more weeks of life. He had been telling me when I'd go visit him, goes, Pastor Ken, I can't wait to come to church because I really want to worship one time with the church. I'm really praying God will give me the strength so I can go one time with Helen to church. It never happened. But to me, it's like the best memory for Bernie is he got to experience first what we're all praying that we one day get to, and we'll see, is that when we get to heaven, the heavenly choir, that's going to be so incredible. That heavenly choir, he got to experience, trust me, it's going to be much better than any earthly choir, especially if I'm in it singing, off key and all, to be able to hear the pitch perfect heavenly choir and to see God's presence unfiltered, full, on full. There's no way? Yes, there is. Just like in a Bernie George, God's going to send us, and God wants to do that work in lives today. If you can go to the last slide, the very last slide that I have, one of the things, I don't think this occurred when I was with you last time, but it was the fall of 18, got an email that I got an invitation to the White House. And so I got to go to the White House, have a meeting with the Department of Education and some other leaders. There was about 100 of us in the room. And then 1 month later, had another personal meeting with the Department of Department of Education and some of their staff. And I just remember getting that email. I was at church. I wasn't out traveling that Sunday, and I had been tipped off, look for an email, because you're going to have to act quick within a few days to accept it, but just be prepared. And all of a sudden, there I'm at church, and this email falls, and that's some screenshots of it that you see up there. But to see Jesus come into our life, it's the same thing. That invitation would do me no good if I didn't act on it. The invitation to invite Christ in does no good that you just know it. You've got to act on it. You've got to essentially accept the RSVP. Invite him to be your Lord and leader of your life. And this is the greatest opportunities that we have this week, that we could just pray, God, help me to be an Ananias to someone that needs to know and to be able to accept the greatest invitation. God's making ways. He's making ways to those who we would think there is no way God would be interested. But you know what? He's already working on their way. He's speaking. He's working on their life. He needs believers that'll come alongside and salt it, water it, feed it, fertilize it, what God is speaking to them. And some points you might get a reverse reaction, a negative reaction, but you need to know that negative reaction is actually part of the working process of God removing the scales, speaking to them. We're part of the process. Step into it and enjoy it because God's at work. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Thank you for Maranatha Assembly. I thank you for this wonderful church. And Father, we just pray that you will just help us, Lord, to be on mission to the places that you send us, the people that we get to be able to share your love with. Lord, I just pray that you will just continue to bless this church. Let it be a lighthouse into this community. Help us, Lord, to be diligent, looking for the opportunities that you're going to give us, that you give us every single day, whether at work, with our neighbors, with loved ones in our family. Lord, help us to be mindful that you're sending us. When you send us out from this church, it's just not going to be a disconnected moment. You're going to be at work, flowing with us wherever we go. And we are to be your agents to be able to share who you are. With every head bowed, I have to ask this question. If you're here today and you do not know for certain that Jesus is the number one thing in your life, that he's your Lord and leader, so whether you're watching online or you're here this morning, I need to ask this question. If you're not totally certain that he's the number one thing in your life, but today you know, I need to make certain that he's the Lord and leader of my life. If that's you, would you just look at me, and I just want to pray with you. Thank you. Is there others? Thank you. Anyone else? I want everybody to say this prayer with me. And so if that is you and that's your heart's desire, I want everyone to say this prayer with me. Dear Jesus, thank you for not giving up on me, for loving me. Forgive me of my sins. Come in and do a new work in my life. Be my leader and my Savior. I trust in you alone. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer, it's the beginning part of a relationship. And I just encourage you to make sure you see Pastor Dave before you go today. Just let him know, hey, I prayed that prayer. You can even flip in my favorite other four-letter word to it in there too, dude. And just say, dude, I prayed this prayer. It's one of the... That prayer doesn't make you a member of this church. It does make you connected to a Heavenly Father who wants to do a work in your life and do life with you, just like he did with Saul, who later became Paul, just as he led Ananias, just as he's leading so many others in this room. And thank you for a church, for being so committed to sharing the love of Jesus and investing in that through your missions, through your efforts at Easter. You just need to know Stacy and I are so grateful for your partnership with us. Lord bless you. Pastor Dave.
Thank you, Kent. Would you stand with me, please? Don't forget, if you'd like to give, you can just mark on an envelope for Kent or for missionary and drop it in the offering boxes on the way out, and that money will go to the ministry that they are doing. Father, we are grateful for the challenge of this day, and I pray that we would keep in mind that there are people that you have prepared in advance for us to minister to this week. You said so in Ephesians 2:10 that there are works that you prepare in advance for us to participate in. Help us, Lord, to be sensitive to your spirit, to hear your voice, and to follow your promptings as we walk through this community, as we engage with people, that we would be on mission for you and that lives would be changed as a result of our being sent into this community. Use us this week for your glory, for your honor, to bring people to right relationship with you, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.